said that this is truly the Lord's Prayer, because when he does the prayer that we all know, you know, our Father which art in heaven, he asks to be forgive us for our debts as we forgive our debtors, sins, in other words. Jesus Christ never sinned. So that prayer was him showing us how to pray, which is good. I mean, and it's good that we do this. But this, in John 17 here, is Jesus praying to the Father for us. And let us start with what is it, 3 through 5. John 17, 3 through 5. I don't know which one's easier. Okay, this is easier. And this is the eternal, this is eternal life, that they know you and only, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I glorify you on earth, having accomplished the works that you have given me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I have with you before the world existed, that I had with you before the world existed. This is his opening towards his prayer. And he's talking about the Father glorifying him. You know, I'm going to pray this prayer and I want you, Father, to do this. And he goes through and he's going to explain the way that he had accomplished the things that the Father sent him to earth to do, and how he wants the Father to look after his disciples, you know, to keep them from evil, to watch over him, to let them be in the world but not of the world, as that old saying that we've heard so many times. And that he's going to watch over. In here, I'm going now. In here, he not only is praying for his disciples at the time, but he's also praying for us. We'll read down the line that he's talking about the people who believe because of their belief. Now, our job, and the only job that we have, is to decide on, is he praying about me or not? And only you know how much you believe or you don't believe. Jesus Christ, we put our trust in Jesus Christ, so I'm putting my trust in him that this is for me. That a lot of the things that are going on against me, the hard times and all this other stuff, it's because I haven't been living according to my belief. You know what I'm saying? I haven't been acting according to what I truly believe. And what I truly believe is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And I don't think anybody ever will ever exist or ever could exist that could pray a prayer for me that God wouldn't be listening to. So if things are not working out for me in certain ways, then what am I doing? Am I truly? There's this grace. In the Bible, it says the law, and I think it's John 1:17, or don't quote me on that, but it says that the law was given by Moses, But grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Okay, grace and truth. Grace is that unmerited favor. Grace is him watching out for you, not because you did everything perfectly or whatever the case is. It is because he knows you and he knows where you are. And he knows what you have to walk through in order to get to him. And he's going to see to it that you make it. Now, sometimes we feel like it's not about feeling at all. That's where we get confused. That's where we mess up. Faith and feelings are two different things. Sometimes we feel like we're not saved, we're not here. But the truth is that do we believe Jesus Christ? And he says, I will never let you go, like the song was just saying. So even when you feel like you're not forgiven or that you did, you messed up so bad or whatever the case may be, when you feel that feeling, it is honesty to say that that feeling's there. But faith is to say, but I'm trusting Jesus Christ. I am saved in spite of the feeling. Because feelings will always come and go. But faith is where you decide to put your trust. And it's not a feeling thing. It's a thing that, in spite of everything that's going on, that you know that he's going to be there for you. Even though it doesn't look like there's no way out of this trouble, you know that he said he's going to be there, and I'm taking his word. I'm taking his word. That's all there is to it. It sounds so easy, but it is the most difficult thing. Because the truth is, Jesus Christ is the truth. And everything that I have, that's where I want to put my faith in. And I want to put my faith in him praying for me. And because he prayed for me, you know, you can get the most holiest person that you know of to pray for you, and you'll feel like it's doing. There is none holier or greater than Christ. So I'm accepting this. That's what I'm doing. I'm accepting this prayer that he's doing, and he's acknowledging that he was here to glorify and that he has accomplished the work that the Father had set out for him to do before the world existed. And in, what is it, 9:6-9, I have manifested your name to the people whom you've given me out of the world. Yours, who given me out of the world, I have manifested your name to the people whom you have given me out of the world. Yours they were, it's just not the way I would say it. Yours that they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you. For I have given them the word that you give me, that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. That's where we're talking about. Are we receiving what he has done? Sometimes we know it, we believe in him and stuff like that, but we don't really receive it. We don't allow it to sink into us. And that's what I'm saying that I'm doing. I'm receiving this prayer now that he has prayed, and it's been in this book my whole life, you know, and I believed in him my whole life. But now I want to receive it into me, into my soul, into me knowing that Jesus Christ prayed this prayer for me also. Okay, 10:13. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me, and I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost. Except the son of destruction, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the word, in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. By receiving his word, he's asking us that we rejoice in him. We rejoice in his just knowing, and I do rejoice in just knowing that he is backing me. He is backing me. He's going to be there for me. He's listening to my prayers, even at times when I don't feel like he's listening. He's going to do what's best for me. You remember that verse that says, all things work out for the good for those who love Christ? It's just that no matter what the trouble is or how the trouble got to be there or what's going on, it's that I know in my heart that Jesus don't lie, and things are going to work out for my benefit in his name. The move that I just made, was forced to make even after being shot, it was all hard and difficult, but things are seemingly to be working out because I'm able to do overtime now, and I'm able to get money and pay off some of the things and problems that I had. So, and by some miracle, believe it or not, that this is a miracle, that at work they are making it mandatory that we do 10 hours overtime a week, which sounds like a lot of work, and it is, but the point is that I still need to get those things paid off. And God is making a way, even though sometimes I don't want to be there at that overtime and I want to go home and rest or whatever the case is, by them making it mandatory, guess what? I got to be there. And me being the crew leader and everything like that, I really have to be there. So I'm accomplishing some of the things that I needed to have accomplished back before. I end up having to move and having to borrow money and the whole nine yards. So it's hard work. It's difficult. I don't always want to be there. It doesn't always agree with me. But I know that God is working these things out in my favor, in my benefit, through that hard work and through the things that he has set up. So I truly believe that Jesus Christ prayed these prayers for me. I mean, we're going to go on down the line here, and it's going to even say that he did for the people that, like I said earlier, for the people who believed because of the people who believed. And these things, it's only by his grace, you know? It's not by me trying to make these things happen, me trying to force this labor or go find this job or whatever the case is, I had no input into those people telling me, oh, we got so much work coming in that we need to get this done. We have to do a mandatory 10-hour days. That was not me, even though that's what I needed. And I really believe that that's Jesus Christ working on my behalf. And it's that timing, like I said, and it doesn't have to be all whoop-de-doo, I get to do this. It just has to be done. Jesus is the grace. He is the grace. He came through. He is there, and he's working for all of us. He's working for each and every one of us, that we take the time out of our days, out of our Sunday, and we come here, and he's going to be here for us. Now, it's the adversary's thing is to get you to feel that you're wasting your time and all this other stuff. So we have to learn to trust the word in spite of our feelings. It's one of the main things we have to do, just learn to trust the word in spite of our feelings. 20 to 23 is, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their words, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. I in you. That they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. That the glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as I in them and you are in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you love me. So one of the things, you know, people always wondering what is the Father's will? What is the Father's will? What does the Father want us to do? And here in I didn't have this earlier, but John 6:40, it says, they don't have this, it says, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believe in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. So when you're wondering what is God's will and what does God want us to do, he wants us to believe in the Son. He wants us to believe that Jesus Christ was sent by him. There is no one greater or more holier that's going to pray for us than what this prayer being prayed in 17, John 17. And when you believe that, it didn't say when you act like it or whatever it is. When you believe that and that has sunk into your soul, which probably everyone here it is, because you wouldn't be coming in the door if it wasn't there in somewhat, that you have that eternal life, that you have it. Now we just have to learn to walk in it and to accept it and to receive it. And that God is looking out for us, even when Satan wants us to believe otherwise, even when the world wants us to believe otherwise, like there is no such thing or whatever the case is, or they may look at us like we're being foolish or childish or something of that nature, but yet they can't deny the fact that why is things always working out for you? even though I see you in rough spots. And I have people at work to come up and tell me that, how can you even go through some of the stuff, getting shot and all this other stuff, and still have the attitude or whatever it is? If I do have a good attitude, I pray that it's because of the glory of God and Jesus Christ has given me. I look at this incident that happened to me, and it could have been a lot worse. There are people who never recover from an accidental drive-by or whatever the case is. And this person's gun went off, and it is by the grace of God that I am standing here talking to you now. Only by the grace of God. It hit me in the leg, and it did not touch anything of vital, anything of importance. I was walking on it the same day. And if I had to get shot, there couldn't have been a safer way. You know, so I thank Jesus for watching over me. And actually, in some respects, if it probably would have hit any other person at that bus stop, it probably would have killed them. It probably could have killed them, depending on where they're standing with the Savior. I have no idea. So I'm kind of glad that it did pass through my legs. I have an experience that not very many people have had. So that's something that I could talk about. But it is because Jesus Christ has been looking out for me, and he has been looking out for me my whole entire life. And I know this, and I believe it with all my heart, that this prayer has been covering me even when I didn't receive it. Now I would just want to go through life with my eyes open. I want to go through life knowing that he's here. It doesn't mean for me to go out and do anything foolish. Don't, you know, I'm not going and jumping in front of a gun or things of that nature, but I do want to praise him and thank him and let him know that I appreciate him looking out for me. It is his grace. It is the grace. Let's go to 25 through 26. It is, O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you. And these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. That's it. That's what he wants us to know. That love is there, whether you feel it or not. It doesn't mean that he doesn't love you just because you don't feel it. In so many relationships, you know that you are cared about, but it doesn't seem like that, or people you care about don't feel like they're receiving that love. It doesn't stop you from caring about that person, you know. It gets frustrating. It gets aggravating. It can interfere. The feelings can interfere with the relationship. But they say true love is that when you know that you're going to be with somebody. It's not all the hassle and the lovey-dovey or whatever the case is. It's when you're with someone and you know that when it's all said and done that y'all going to be together. That you're going to be together no matter how angry you get with one another, no matter what has happened or whatever the case is. True love is knowing that this person's coming home with me. And I think that's the way God loves us, is with true love. And he allows us to grow through whatever the heck it is we have to grow through. And we are the ones that the Father has given to the Son, and the Son knows that we are his, even at times when we don't feel like it. Even he knows that, you know, we probably be some of us will be messed up on the streets or whatever the case is, but the minute that thing comes when you're dying or whatever it is, being called home, you're going to say, Father, forgive me. It's going to come out of your mouth somehow. Because I know people who claim not to believe, but then when you look at them, you can tell that they do. They believe in something. And I just want to be legitimate with myself. I want to be legit as far as I believe in Jesus Christ. I'm taking him at his word. He is the Son of God. He did die on the cross for my sins. He did rise on the third day. And these are all the things that I truly believe. And I want that to be prevalent, that belief in my life. Not perfect, am I, and never will I be, not on this side of heaven. So, but the core of who I am and what I am, that is the core. And yes, I do get mad. I do get upset. Yes, I do want to cuss. Yes, I do all those things. But when it's all said and done, I'm going to say, Father, forgive me for whatever it is that I've done. And I give praise and thanks to him. I look at, in chapter 18, it talks about when Jesus gets arrested in the garden. I had the verses up there, but I'm probably not going to go to it, because what I really want to focus on in this chapter is Peter's denial. Peter, the way that he was told that he would deny Christ three times. And it happened. And I couldn't imagine. I mean, I would feel like worse than that. You know what I'm saying? Very, very, very small. I would probably feel like there is no hope, no chance for me ever being forgiven or whatever it is, because I just totally messed up. But because of God's grace, because of the grace of Jesus Christ, because of the love of Jesus Christ, look what Peter did. Look what he went on to do. Even in the midst of those big mistakes that he made, where he denied him and all those things. So my point to that is that God knows us, and he knows our hearts. He knows our core, even the part of us that we are not totally fully aware of. And if Jesus Christ is praying for us and looking after us, and we are given to Jesus Christ, the Maker knows who we are. And guess what? We're on this boat, this ship called Earth, and we're on our way to heaven, and we're just going to live our life out, and we're going to help who we can, and we're going to do what we can, and we have to deal with the issues that are set before us. But the victory is already won. Your name is in that book. You're going to one day stand before him, and it's not so much as being judged or to answer for what happens. I look at it, it is like, number one, the judgment was done on the cross. So whatever sin that you committed, everything, Jesus Christ paid for that sin, so he really can't judge you. But what I believe is that when I stand before him, I want to be as pure as possible. I don't want to be overwhelming in guilt on some of the things that I can control and I didn't. So I just want to continue to get better here. I'm trusting that he died for my sins. I know that I won't be judged. I know that I'm going to heaven, but when I go to heaven, I want to be able to truly say, I truly tried. Not that I've always exceeded in doing the right thing or whatever the case is, but I do want to be able to say I truly tried to do the right thing. You know, we're being saved by grace and by the works of Christ. It's not necessarily by your good works, okay, because it is by grace, unearned. And if you really look at the good works, I know people who don't believe in Christ at all, who were brought up in different countries, who have more financial abilities to do more good in the world, who helps more orphans, who do all these things. But that's not going to get them into heaven. What's going to get them into heaven is knowing Jesus Christ and putting your trust and faith in Jesus Christ. So it's not by your works. It can't be by your works. That doesn't mean that I don't want to do things good or good things. It just means that, Jesus, I know that it is by your grace. It's because you went to the cross that if I go, when I stand before the Father, it's going to be because of what you did, not because of what I've done. You know, there's people of all different, well, most religions, the difference between our religion, Christianity, and most religion is, most religion is do good, get good. Do good, get good. Do this good, you'll earn this. Do this. Christianity is trust in Jesus Christ and you get good. And it's totally different from do good, get good, because sometimes we're not in the position to do good, to give to the orphan, to sponsor one of those kids or whatever the case is. We're not in that position. And by sponsoring one of those kids doesn't get you into heaven. But to do good does help me. But to trust in Jesus Christ is the way to get into heaven. And that's the only way in. And Jesus Christ went about doing good and healing all. So he is to be our example. That is to be what we should be trying to learn to do. Do good and help who we can help when we can. But not necessarily feeling guilty about when we can't because someone did more or someone did less or whatever the case is. Those are not the issues. And I love the fact that Peter was forgiven even before it even happened. You know, Jesus Christ told him that he was going to deny him. And it was a walk that Peter had to walk, that Peter was going to walk through. And he walked through it, and he came through it, and he just learned to put his trust back in Jesus Christ. And look at what he did for the church, establishing the church, being the one of the first leaders of the church. He was the rock that the church was supposed to be built on as far as holding on to his belief in Jesus Christ. So let us know that it is by his grace that we are saved. And by his grace, and when we are not necessarily tempted, but wanting to feel guilty because of what we can't do or what we couldn't do or whatever the case is, we must remember that it is not because of us, it's by the grace of Jesus Christ. And not let that condemnation, that's the word I was looking for, not let that condemnation control our lives through our feelings. Because your feelings can lie to you. Your feelings can lie to you. And Satan's biggest way of controlling us is by making us feel bad because of things we had done or could have done or whatever it is, and we just have to learn to say, it is by the grace of Christ that we shall enter in. It's not by my works. And I think that is one of the main things that we all have to learn. So let's take a minute, think about it. A little quiet time. Close your eyes. Jesus, I know these words that you've given me are true. I know this, what you have taught me, is true. I don't know if it got out the way that you wanted it. Jesus, my faith is in you. It is by your grace that we hear. It is by your grace that we learn. Jesus, help us. Always be here with us. Always watch over us, and thank you. Thank you for giving us the chance to one day come home. In your precious name I pray, amen.